And from the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Cremery. Students at a public charter elementary school in Ketchikan celebrated Indigenous Peoples Day last week with their first all-school assembly in more than 2 years. As KRBD's Eric Stone reports, the Tongass School of Arts and Sciences Assembly is part of the school district's effort to promote what's known as place-based learning.
Signatla. Good day, Thunderbirds.
Clint Schultz, a third and fourth grade teacher whose Haida name is White Wolf, welcomes students and leads them in a review of some words and phrases in the endangered Haida language, Hadkil.
So, the way it will be, I say, you say. That sound good?
Yeah.
All right. So, ready? Hawa.
Hawa.
Can anyone tell me by a raise of hand, what does Hawa mean?
Hawa.
It means thank you. Can we give him a quick little applause? Excellent! All right, ready for this one? Hausen Dunks Kingson. And what does Hausen Dunks Kingson mean? Excellent, so it means I will see you again. So can we give her a round?
After some practice, it's time to celebrate Southeast Alaska Native culture in another way with a song.
All right, so this is our welcome song. Now, we talk about every Monday and Friday when we do our welcome song. We tell who this song is gifted by. Well, not everyone may know who Teresa Burnell is, but luckily for us, guess what? Miss Teresa is here. Teresa, would you come up? Do you mind?
Burnell is the district's cultural coordinator. She was honored as Sea Alaska Heritage Institute's Educator of Distinction earlier this year.
Yeah, I composed it. We were having a hard time. There were so many educators that were talking to me about having like this feeling of fear or being uncomfortable about using language or singing songs and thinking they might be doing things in the wrong way. And I thought this alleviate all of those fears.
Then it's time for the highlight of the afternoon, the dances. Schultz leads the children through three main moves, starting with the raven dance.
And we're going to get really low. Now, what a raven does is a raven hops around like this. Okay? And as it does, it looks. So we hop around. Okay? Next one you can do is the paddle dance, and where the hands are going to come up like this. And this is us saying like we have our paddle, our war paddle, our canoe paddle, and it comes in the air just like this. Okay? And last one is the wolf dance. And this is kind of the strong dance. We're gonna stay really low, and our hands are gonna come out in front of us like this. So one hand comes in front, the other comes below, behind.
Staying as low to the ground as possible, the students hop around the gym as Tori Schultz leads in drumming and singing. Then it's time for the women's dance. Students put their hands on their hips and glide around the room to what Schultz calls the women's competition song. Clint Schultz says the school's curriculum is designed to tie students' lessons to their community. It's what's called place-based learning.
We want the kids that are Alaska Native, who are Haida, Tlingit, and Tsimshian, to be proud of their heritage, and then we want the other students to be able to share in that. And cultural importance at the school level of all cultures is extremely important for all the kids.
Ann Varnell, who taught first and second grade at the Tongass School before becoming the district cultural coordinator, says it seems to be working.
Well, I think in particular with Thomas School, if you just show up in the morning, you'll see what it looks and feels like. I think what's most important is that they are all coming together in a different kind of sense of community that you don't see in other schools.
It's a strategy the district hopes will keep students connected, both to their school and to their community. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Eric Stone.
there's been a new development in the investigation of one of four cases of Alaska Native people who went missing in the Fairbanks area 2 years ago. As KUAC's Dan Bross reports, the Alaska State Troopers reported the break during a Thursday public meeting put on by the Fairbanks Native Association and the Tanana Chiefs Conference.
The gathering at the Chief David Salmon Tribal Hall brought together local Native, city, and law enforcement representatives to update the community on the missing persons cases of Frank Manano, Debbie Nicktoon, and Doran Sanford, who went missing in August 2020, and Willis Durendoff, who disappeared 3 months later in November 2020. Alaska State Trooper Interior Commander Captain Eric Spitzer reported receiving new information about one of the cases October 12th after talking to a group of seniors about the missing persons cases.
I can't disclose what happened exactly, but I will tell you this. When the meeting left, everybody left after the meeting, someone came up to me and they provided me a tip.
Captain Spitzer said four troopers are following up on the lead.
I am bubbling over with things that I want to say to you right now, but in the interest of there's transparency, and then there's preserving the integrity of investigation. I will tell you this. In the near future, there's going to be some legal movement on a case. I can't tell you which case, but I'm telling you that we are working on this. We are going to hold those people responsible who are accountable.
Law enforcement has in the past stated that there appears to be no connection between the four unresolved missing persons cases, so a break in one does not indicate progress toward resolving the others. Spitzer also highlighted policies and tools aimed at improving missing persons case response and investigation, including an anonymous online AK tips window on the trooper webpage, which allows information to be shared and troopers to ask questions without knowing who they're communicating with.
Some people are suspicious about it. They're like, oh, it's not anonymous. You're going to find out who you are. It's an actual app that's designed. It's encrypted, so we can't swim upstream. We can't go back to find out who it is.
Several others who spoke also asked for the public's help, including Willis Durendoff's aunt, Rosie Simon, who referred to a poster of the four missing people.
People miss these people right here. They have family. They have big families. And there's someone out there everyone knows. They can't just disappear all one time with nothing, nobody knowing nothing.
New efforts to increase cooperation and transparency between the public, local government, law enforcement, the Fairbanks Native Association, and the Tanana Chiefs Conference were stressed by several speakers. The focus includes investigation of existing cases and more proactive action on new ones. TCC Chief and Chair Brian Ridley said the Interior Tribal Service Organization's VPSO program has received special designation from the state.
Where we can initiate searches in the Fairbanks North Star Borough when a tribal member goes missing. This allows for families to begin searching for a missing person immediately and for a missing person's report to be officially filed as soon as the person goes missing.
TCC and FNA are crafting a memorandum of understanding about how they'll work together on the issue. FNA Justice Director Shirley Lee emphasized the importance of cross-community and agency unity.
And I'm so hopeful about the work we're about to do jointly with TCC, improving our working relationship with FPD and the troopers and the new mayor.
Lee said FNA and TCC will continue to hold meetings every 3 months to update the public on missing and murdered Indigenous persons cases. In Fairbanks, I'm Dan Bross.
And Southeast Alaska's first big fall storm is forecast to wash ashore this week. Kimberly Vaughn with the National Weather Service in Juneau says it'll bring strong winds and heavy rains to the panhandle.
There is a big change coming our way. There's a hurricane force low that's tracking across the Gulf. It's going to make landfall between Yakutat and Cordova area.
The low pressure system is expected to weaken slightly as it comes closer to land on Tuesday. The northern panhandle is in for the strongest winds and heaviest rains. Meteorologists are predicting winds of 40 to 55 miles an hour Tuesday night, with some areas reaching 60 miles an hour. 3 to 4 inches of rain are forecast through Thursday. High winds and driving rain are not unusual for this time of year in Southeast, but with the first big fall storm on its way, Vaughn says it's time to get prepared. The stormy week ahead follows a couple of unseasonably sunny and mild days this weekend. You're listening to KTOO.